Thank you, Pastor Dudley. I believe God is here to do something today, not because of me, but because of what He wants to do. I'm thankful to be in His presence today, aren't you? Amen. I would like to thank Elder Dudley and Pastor Dudley for inviting me to come, their confidence, all the provisions, the room, the basket, but more than that, the presence of God that we've been blessed with. My elders here, Bishop Johnson, Bishop Howard, I love these men. I need these men. All the other friends, elders that are here, thank you for being good to me and my family over the years. God's good. Yes, amen. Giving honor to that one that He's the reason why we're all here today, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. I appreciate just being in the presence of God today. Anything can happen where He is. Anything can happen in the presence of God today. Well, praise the name of the Lord. Anything can happen where He is. And I trust that something's going to happen here today because of the word of the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 27. I can preach this today because this was preached to me so long ago by that great man of God, my pastor. 1 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 27. Out of the spoils won in battles did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. And if you will, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 26. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. Of this present for you of the spoils of the enemy of the Lord. Lord bless you. Please be seated. I believe God's already let us know He's here. Be redundant to ask Him to be here. He's here to do something. My heart is full today. I just don't want my head to be empty. Amen. My heart is full of something that I believe that is very important at the moment we live right now. I don't wish to try to razzle or dazzle anybody because I don't have that ability. I want to be very careful not to confuse you with my stupidity. But I thank God for the privilege to be a part of His kingdom in the day and the hour that we live. We need to understand that the enemy is the resistance for us to worship God in spirit and in truth. The enemy of our soul and the enemy of the church, the kingdom of God today, is that which would try to separate us from the fellowship with God. Amen. I am, for one, real tired of raising a crop like Israel did so many times, and the enemy coming in and robbing the crop. After 35 years of pastoring in Burley, I have seen many come and go, and I'm tired of putting effort into young people and watching the enemy come in at harvest time. Israel get a crop up, and lo and behold, the Midianites, the Philistines, somebody would show up. And I hate that. I hate that with a pink and purple passion, if you will. Well, glory to God. I hate it to deal with young people through and raise them through those that have dedicated as babies, prayed them through childhood diseases, and the enemy come in and take my crop. Amen. Now, God good. Those of you of our home folks that are here today, you'll probably hear a conglomeration of a whole bunch of things you've heard before. But God's going to help somebody today if they'll allow him to. You give me a little while, and then I'd like to talk about the aspects of spiritual warfare. The aspects of it. Amen. God is so good. Now, I don't want to go back and clarify, qualify, and explain everything the rest of this message. Amen. We understand that the Old Testament physical wars was examples of the New Testament spiritual wars. Amen. And if I can touch a little while this morning about somebody that claims to be a conscientious objector. In the fall of 1966, I happened to be the one that was sent to the mailbox. My sister and brother-in-law were out of town, and I went to their house and got a letter that was inviting him into the military. We all were afraid of going to Vietnam in our junior high and high school years. It was something that we saw there was not much of a chance of winning. We read the letters of the boys that sent it home and said, you have to have clearance to fight back. I'm so glad that the church does not have to have clearance to fight back. We'll praise the name of the Lord. And in the fall of 1998, my wife and I visited a place in Greensboro, North Carolina, Guilford Courthouse Battleground. As I quizzed the park rangers, why was Cornwallis, that English general? This was during not the Civil War, but this was during the American Revolution. Cornwallis was an English redcoat general that was bearing down on the Continental Army. And here they were trying to win. And lo and behold, the battle at the Guilford Courthouse was a hard battle. There was much loss by the English. There was much loss by Cornwallis. And Green really whooped up on him. But I asked the park ranger, why, after all the loss, was Cornwallis declared the winner? The park ranger looked at me and, you've got to understand, he said, that during this period of time, whoever held the battleground when the battle was over was declared the winner. Pastor Collins and I was taught by that great elder that the great war of the end time was between our ears. I'm telling you, the greatest war you'll ever find is right between your ears. But how are you going to maintain the battleground when the battle is over? Are you going to hang on to it? Well, praise the name of the Lord. We find in the book of Judges that there was enemies that God left around to teach the children of Israel that had not known war, how to war. There was enemies that were left just for them to practice up on, if you will. To learn. Because they didn't know how to do it before. I'm telling you, there's some young people here today that you better learn. You better learn how to fight. I have a fear of being misunderstood today. Yes, I probably have a dozen or better AR-15s. I have AK-47. I have the, but you know what? I'm not a militia-minded person. The reason why I have firearms is I'm an American and I can have them. They do something stupid on the national scene and I go buy one more. Well, praise the name of the Lord. Even got some ammunition to go with them. Amen. Well, thank God for his goodness and his mercy today. Hallelujah. I think of that day when David showed up on the battlefield. There was a giant over there on the hillside. And he was trying to defy the armies of the living God, trying to intimidate, trying to beat them down. And the whole thing was over. He said, send me a man. And if you whip us, we'll be your servants. But if we get him, you're going to be our servants. I refuse to be a servant of the spirit of the Philistines of this age. I refuse to be a servant of defeat. Oh, to God. I refuse to be a servant of intimidation. Well, praise the name of our God. Isn't he good? Anybody around here love him today? You know, the problem is we haven't won a war since 1945 as a nation. We haven't won a war. There's been some police actions going on. Korea was a police action. Vietnam was a police action. There was rules of engagement that you couldn't. My dear brother-in-law, and I'll talk about him here in a minute, wrote me a letter not long after he'd been in Vietnam. He said, it's crazy. We have a hard time being able to defend ourselves. In this status quo that's trying to sneak into the apostolic church, it makes somebody that wants to defend themselves feel out of place if they want to go to prayer and say, I'm going to win this thing. I'm sick and tired. Elder, you and I've discussed it before, of people backsliding and going away. And then coming back, mom and dad coming back. And they left their babies out there in the world. And then they want to come to the ministry and say, pray for my babies. I would to God there's some parents in the house today that get some gravel in your gut and some spit in your eye. Well, thank you, Jesus. There's a bunch of aspects of war. Now, there's times that you don't want to fight. Just grit and go. I read where Jonathan, he's out there in the woods fighting the enemy. And he takes his staff and he sticks it down in some honey. And he picks it up and takes a lick.
And the Bible says that his eyes were opened. He was enlightened. There's got to be some sweet spots in war. When you're fighting and carrying, there's got to be some sweet spots. There was a time that David was fighting. He said, God, do I go up? God says, go up. Next day, God said, he went to God and said, God, what do I do today? He said, go around by the mulberry trees. Those mulberry trees were balsam trees. If you'll look it up, balsam tree. If that period of time, there was a place called Gilead. That's where all the young physicians hung out their shingle because there was an abundance of balsam trees there. It was the greatest medication of the day. There's times that in your battle, God will say, stop for a while. I want you to come around at a healing side of this situation. God wants to help us today. Well, praise the name of the Lord. I'm thankful that in the aspects of war, it's not all blow and go. Amen. I'm so thankful for my elders. Pastor Collins and I haven't had our pastor around for about 3 years now, but thank God he introduced us to some great men. Some great men. I love Elder Howard. When I think about David's mighty men, I think of Bishop Howard. Yeah. Yeah, he's one. He go bear hunting with Switch. He thinks on his feet. I love him dearly. The day after my son passed away, he flew in and carried us through the weekend. God's so good to give us the people that we need in our lives. Pastor Collins and I, Bishop Howard, one day went to lunch around our place. And I was talking to him about a message that something brought it up, a message I'd preached recently about Jonathan's son, as long as he kept his crippled feet under the tablecloth at David's table. Nobody knew he was a cripple because his feet was underneath the tablecloth. They were hidden. Bishop Howard looked up at me in that face that he can put on, and he said, so what do you do about your face? That's some quick thinking. How do you answer something like that? You don't. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. I'm trying to hurry to get out of your way. Pastor Collins is on pins and needles today, scared to death. I was the youth leader. He was one of the youth. And he's on pins and needles. I'm going to talk about something. Rest. Take a deep breath. Ain't going there today. It's all right. God is so good. I've been to Bishop Dudley's house and I've been to Pastor Dudley's house, and they both have trophy rooms. Amen. And I love hunting, and I love looking at things that I haven't had the privilege to shoot yet. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his goodness. Do we love him today? Let's stop and just worship him. We love you, Master. You're so good, God. You're so good, God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, that mighty warrior by the name of David, history tells us he was somewhere around 17 years old or so when he took on the giant. But he already had a bunch of victories under his belt. You know, as a kid, we used to sit around back when you could buy 22 shells for 59 cents a box. we'd sit around with a 22 on the hillside and one smart one. So good to be around my friend today. Been a long time. Amen. God good. And we used to say, Bishop, we used to say, see that white rock over there on the hillside? And we'd pull down on that with an old long-barreled 22. And then we'd say, now you don't. I believe that's the way David was out with the sheep. He'd tell that old mama, you. Said, see that white rock over there? Watch this. Now you don't. David developed abilities just doing chores with daddy's sheep. And he was out there that day. And here come a lion. And you pardon my vernacular, but my Arkansas and Missouri heritage comes out every once in a while. My mama was an Arkansas Razorback. My dad was a Missouri Mule. And they ended up with a hog that brays. Glory to God. Speaking of heritage, my wife here, I'm so glad she's here, and so many grandkids, and my daughter-in-law. But I'm kind of partial to that Dudley name because I married into a family that of Dudley descent. My mother-in-law was a Dudley. It's kind of, you know, if all Dudleys would be like you two and my wife's family, man, what an awesome name that would be. Yeah. Oh, my. David here took a lion and a bear. And lo and behold, when he got him down, he beat the ever-living snot out of him. Is that all right, Bishop?
That's how I say it.
The ever-living snot out of him. I'm telling you, somebody today needs to learn how. In prayer, when there's somebody headed after your babies. Come on, Mom and Daddy. It's not time to be a conscientious objector. You know, I've re-looked at some things lately. I pack a firearm or two, three or four, five or six. I probably only have about four or five here at Junction with me this year. I don't carry them to the platform. But, you know, I've rethought some things lately. I don't know how much I would defend myself. But I've got some grandchildren. I have a wife and some daughters. Pardon my vernacular, but somebody needs to learn how to hair lip every cow in Texas. Oklahoma too, the elder said. I don't know how much I would defend myself. But I'll tell you, there's two little girls sitting up there in the balcony that are my deceased son's daughters. I've got two little grandsons that are 3 and 4, and they are rebels. They are rebels. But you raise a hand against one of them or against one of my lady folks, and y'all just might wake up dead. Praise the name of the Lord. Isn't God good?
Yes, sir.
David learning how to do those chores is what made him be ready. That when that giant, he walks up on the battlefield just tootling along. He leaves the little breads and cheeses over there with the keeper of the carriage. Yeah, and he looks over there and there's been this giant over there for 40 days, morning and night, intimidating the people of God. I happen to pastor a church that there's been a giant over there on the hillside intimidating a church for a long time. David said, what is going on here? Who is that? And we've got some spirits that's hampering the apostolic church that's represented here today. That's trying to intimidate us. That we can't climb the mountain like the elder preached last night. I think somebody crawls out from behind that little. You know the problem I have, and if this goes against your pastor, he's right and I'm wrong. Do you know the problem I have with conscientious objectors today? Is we say, no, we won't go to the battlefield. We won't carry a gun. We won't do this. We won't. What about the boys that died that we could be setting in this room today? What about the millions that's gone off to war that you can live where you live today? As the elder preached last night, what about those that fought the battle ahead of us? Almost 25 years ago, I stood in this pulpit. I watched Bishop Westberg sit here. Direct traffic in an altar service, just with a nod of his head or a finger. We stood on this platform side by side and wept one night when a deaf mute received the Holy Ghost right about here. Oh, what a miracle God can do. What a miracle God can do. But I think about the elders that have gone on now. They paid a price. The last few years that my pastor was alive, especially the last year and a half, my wife and I'd receive a phone call about 9:30 at night. He'd be saying, Quinn, pray. The devil's beating me up. He's trying to tell me I'm not even saved. One morning I walked into that care center room. And as I came through the door, he clapped his hands, raised his hands. He said, thank God you're here. The devil won't take two of us on. I'm not here to give the devil glory. But I would like the elder last night, I'd like to make somebody mad enough that they quit hiding behind. You know, Israel had a problem during the days of Saul. The Philistines had taken all the smiths away. I've got some cousins by the name of Smith that I wish the Philistines would take away. But the Philistine had taken all the smiths away. They wouldn't even let them much more than a little file to sharpen their hoe to hoe weeds with. There was two swords in Israel. And that was the day that Jonathan and his armor bearer out there on the hillside. Jonathan said, hey, bub, you know what? God'd like to do something for us today. You see those clowns up there on top of that hill? I think we ought to just go take care of them. Armor bearer says, whatever you say, sir, I'm right behind you. Whatever you say. Two swords. And you know what I think that armor bearer had in the back of his head? If we pull this off, I get a sword of my own. Somebody needs to get behind their pastor. When pastor says we need to do this, somebody needs to say, uh-huh. I'll get me a sword out of this deal before it's over. You stop and think about it. How many times the inventory of swords in Israel went up that day? What was there, 20? 22 of them. They went up there and slew them, took their swords away from them. I like it when Israel, in one of their wars, it took more equipment to get the captured equipment home than it did to get the army out there. I'll get to my point here in a minute. Where am I at in time? Oh, my. 2022. Oh, my. God is so good. I think about some of the battles I've been through that God has brought me through. You help me. Thirty days after my son's ordination and installation at our church, he was life flighted out to Salt Lake City with cancer from his brain to his liver. The next 14 or 15 months was more than I could bear. Have to walk to the pulpit and preach faith. And right after he got sick, the better part of 8 families walked out of church. Fifteen months later, we buried him. Elder Johnson officiated the funeral. 16 months later, I landed in Salt Lake City, coming back from being with Brother White in the Philippines. And I get a phone call that tells me my daughter is running off with a Kenyan national from Kenya. Before it's over, she ends up over there married. The next 2 years was hell on earth. I'd be awake some nights all night long. I'd go to the church at sometimes 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. I was fighting it in my mind. Right here's where the problem was. If what I'm doing is right, why am I dealing with all of this? But let me tell you something today. I've got some spoil I'd like to share with you. I'd like to give you a present today. God's victorious. David had been 16 months without talking to God. And that message you preached so many years ago about Ziklag sticks with me in the midst of this. David had been a failure, if you will. He hadn't been praying for 16 months. But God got his attention. He said, bring that ephod. It's time to touch God. It's time we figure out something. His wife and his children been carried away. All of their stuff. God says, you can go after him. And you can get it back. As they went, out of the 600 men, there was 200. That were just too weak to go on. Heartache, pain, physical trauma. They just couldn't make it away from the brook. And they stayed with the stuff. I understand that I have some saints at home that they don't have the ability to fight much. They're tired. They're wore out. We've had so much murder and so much carry on in our church. No, not people murdering each other, but people in the church being murdered. I have some people that they can't maybe fight all that much. But if they just stay with the stuff, why some of the rest of us go? Because the people that stayed with the stuff got to share in the spoil. Yes, hallelujah. I realize I've got a 90-year-old mother-in-law that believes in her pastor, Brother Collins, so much. She's very real. I look at her and she doesn't have the strength, but she just stays with the stuff. We need some people like that. That would just stay with the stuff. I know I have a problem. Pastor Picklesheimer always told me, he said, you hit the nail so hard you break the board. But I'm sick and tired. You, please bear with me. I realize I'm talking to the saints of the Most High God. But I get so tired of gutless wonders. I get so tired of men that won't fight for their babies. The enemy's coming in and robbing their babies of things and they refuse to develop a prayer life. They're conscientious objectors. They refuse to bear arms in the spirit. I don't know. Maybe I come from the wrong side. I don't know. My mama was a Hatfield. Yes, of the Hatfield and McCoys. Her grandpa was the first one before the Civil War to cause that feud up there in the Cumberland Gap. Went to a dance one night and there was a McCoy boy slapped a girl. Grandpa Charlie decked him. Hit him so hard he was out so cold that he thought he killed him. And he went on the run. Grandpa Charlie, when he got out of the army during the Civil War, they called him Cussin' Charlie. Grandpa Charlie, one of his best friends while he was in the military, there north of Little Rock, the bushwhackers got his friend when his friend went down to get some water at the creek. And killed him. Grandpa Charlie went and got them one by one and laid them out on their porch at home. And then he knocked on the door and told them they won't be home for supper. That group of Hatfields was the fightingest bunch of people. My mom and her sisters, they fought continually. My mom decked me. Just a year or so before she died. I went to the care center. I'd go in the morning and wheel her down to breakfast and go to wheel her down to supper. And I walked in and said, come on, Mama, time to go to dinner. I have eaten, son. I talked with her a little while and I said, you know, Mama, you got to have something on your stomach before you're going to take your medication tonight. Let's go to supper. I told you I have eaten. Well, I let it ride just a little bit longer, and I grabbed her wheelchair and took off. And I said, here we go. She turned around that wheelchair, and she rattled my brain. I turned around and shoved her back in her room, and I said, I see you.
Yeah.
don't want the fact that I came from a fighting family to be the reason why I fight in the kingdom of God. I would rather think that I come from a family that will resist the enemy. Well, praise the name of the Lord. God is so good. I've got, as my friend Brother Garrett would say, copious amounts of notes left. It ain't going there. But I'd like to ask some young people today. You young men, you see what bothers me sometimes. Thank you for the response today, but I haven't been preaching for response. I've been preaching for effect. You know, the artillery in the military will call in Artie and say, fire for effect. We need some preaching that fires for effect, not for response. Sometimes we get in meetings like this and people get caught up in it. And I thank God for response. But we've got young people, even in meetings like this, that shout over the top of sin. As long as they show up here and act like they're shouting during service, and they've got a fornicating spirit at the hotel. Their shouting is covering up something that they need to get some victory over. I believe it today. Well, praise the name of the Lord. God good. But I'm telling you, when was the last time one of you young men came in with your fingers entwined in the hair of a giant? This is my great nephew. I can slap him around a little bit. Hey, man, Pastor Collins needs you to come in some days with your fingers entwined in that old, ugly, grody-looking hair of Goliath and come marching down the aisle. That bloody head bouncing off the calf of your leg and say, Pastor, I got some spoil to share with you today. You see, according to 1 Chronicles, that was needed just to maintain the house of God. Just to maintain the spirit of revival. The spirit of evangelism. We need somebody bringing some spoil in. We need it in this hour that we live. Yeah, we do. When was the last time, young person? And I love young people. Used to be a children myself. How long has it been since you got alone in your bedroom? Kneeling beside your bed and come out with the victory over attitudes of rebellion. You'd gone to your room because you was mad at your parents saying, no, you're not going there. Hallelujah. How long's it been? Too many times we're bringing back remnants of defeat instead of spoils of victory. You may fall into this altar with remnants of defeat and cry and ask God, God, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, God. What about coming to this altar and throwing down some spoil and say, God, thank you for allowing me to have this victory. I got this victory in my mind. I got this victory in my spirit, in my attitude. The apostolic church of 2022 needs some spoil. God's good. I know what it was like during the late 60s. Have a fear of going to war because the war didn't seem to be like one we could win. Many may not understand why President Richard Nixon was my friend, because I was fixing to go when he changed the whole front. The draft has been done away with. But the draft in the church has not been done away with. Somebody needs to get a letter from the president saying your country, your neighbors, your friends would like to invite you to serve. This has got a hold of me. I'm sorry. I'm watching some people that I love dearly, pastors that built churches, turned them to their sons. And the church is drifting. That's not God's way of doing things. That's not the way God wants it to be. God wants this church to get stronger and stronger. See that little white rock over there on the hillside? Now you don't. Just practicing doing chores around the farm, around the house. One of these days God wants to use somebody. But you got to have some preparation behind you. Is there anybody here? You know, young people are usually the first ones in the altar in places like this. But sometime today, is there some parents that would be the first ones that would say, I'm tired of being a conscientious objector. I'm tired of leaving it up to everybody else. First of all, you wouldn't find me on a battlefield without having every drop of firearms I could. I'd have a 44 Magnum somewhere. I wouldn't have those puny little 9 millimeters. You might as well have a 357 or something big. Amen. Something going to hit the enemy and knock him down. Somebody say, you disdain a 9 millimeter? No. Oh, I got a bunch of them. The ammunition's gotten better. I've got a 19-year-old granddaughter up there in the balcony that she can shoot my 50 caliber Smith & Wesson revolver. Because she moves with it. Somebody says, you promoting violence? In the spirit I am. But you got to know when. You got to know when to dip into honey. And you got to know when saying, hey, it's time for some healing. I realize that I have not made everybody here happy. I may not have made some preachers in the house happy today. But I preached what God gave me, and you can take it up with him. I'm not out of notes, but I'm out of time. Who's going to help maintain the house of God? There's a lot of expense to run a building like this financially. There's a lot of expense to run a meeting like this financially. But is there anybody that really wants to go back to your church if you're not of this local church? And say, Pastor, I'm going to bring you some spoil. I'm going to go win some battles that you've been praying for me to get the victory over some of this ridiculous stuff. I'm going to bring it in and lay it down at the feet and say, this is to maintain the house of God. This is to maintain what needs to be done. Come on now. The devil wants to put ballet slippers on our boys and combat boots on our girls. I'm sick and tired of preachers walking around with pride and Pee Wee Herman suits on, showing off their happy socks. Come on, let's get some gravel in our gut and some spit in our eye and say, not today, not here, not at our church. Lord bless you.